And Palmetto Mornings, of course, is your home for news, talk, sports, and we always sprinkle in some fun along the way. Oftentimes, we get a chance to catch up with everyday athletes right here in our community that do some pretty impressive things. Our next guest just finished the 2025 London Marathon. Her name is Kristen Hinton, and good morning to you, Kristen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to be here.
So I've known Kristen for many years. We exercise together. We're usually in the same running group, but she takes running to a whole new level. She runs marathons like I run 5Ks, to put everything in perspective.
That's impressive.
Well, walk us through what it was like to compete in the 2025 London Marathon.
Yeah.
What was that experience like, Kristen?
It was incredible. First of all, this was my 9th marathon, so kind of a seasoned marathoner at this point, and nothing prepares you for something like the London Marathon. I did Chicago last fall, and I kind of expected it to be similar in terms of number of people there, the crowd participation, just the number of people. But London's different. You're international, which has some complexities to it. There's a little bit of, you know, differences there. But, you know, a big race like this, this is a world major marathon, 58,000 runners. You have a lot of logistics. So you have, for this one specifically, several different starting points. So they kind of break the whole group into 3 different start areas, which is unique. Yeah. I hadn't done a race like that before. And then with each one, there are waves. And so I didn't start until about 10:30 a.m. And you're starting with a very small subset of people. So you start running and you're like, oh my gosh, this is great. It's awesome. And then you hit that 3-mile mark and it's like everything converges. And it's almost like when you're on the on-ramp onto standstill traffic and you're like, oh my gosh, there are so many people. And London streets are pretty small. And so it's like a 26-mile obstacle course from then on out. But I will say you come down the hill into this sea of people and you hear the bagpipes and you see just crowds and crowds going nuts. I mean, it is a straight party for the next music. I mean, it's so cool. And I remember like a few times I got kind of emotional because you see Big Ben and you see, you know, you run over the Tower Bridge and you're like, how did I get here? And you have a lot of time to think. So you start thinking about like your running journey and the people and the community. And it's so fun. It's really awesome.
Well, I am not an avid runner. So for the listeners, and I think you touched on this, how many miles is a marathon and what typically is like a good time range to run a marathon?
So it's 26.2 miles. Don't lose the point, too. That's right. It's very important.
I mean, that's like running to what, like Fort Mill and back? I mean, like put that in perspective for people.
In perspective, let's see. You know, I don't even know. Yeah, running to
like York and back.
I would say yeah. Okay. Yeah, running to York and back. Sometimes it is nice to stretch it out and like probably from here to Charlotte. You know.
Yeah.
But you know, a good time for that. I've looked it up. It says for women, 5 hours, under 5 hours is pretty normal. I will say, running a marathon is not normal. So that's number one. There is not a...
Just to finish and be alive.
Just to say, it's a 1% of the entire population that actually ever runs a marathon. So that's a pretty small population. For men, it's going to be a little bit faster. I think I've seen like 4:30 is like an average for men. It's a long time on your feet, a long time to think, and a lot of times you're all alone with your own mind. So, you know, it's an experience for sure.
And you finished... What was your time?
Yeah, so this one I finished right under 4 hours. And I had, you know, gone in with a mentality of this isn't a race for me. I've raced marathons before. That's a completely different mindset. You're only thinking about your time. Head down, focused. You know, I Boston qualified a couple years ago, and that type of mentality is it's all work, no play, right? And I didn't want that for this one. I'm never going back to run the London Marathon again, most likely. I mean, it was amazing, but, you know, done it, checked it off. And I wanted to take it all in. So I trained hard. I had a really solid plan, a great training cycle. And I really wanted to train hard enough to where it didn't hurt. Like, I didn't get into that pain cave where you're, like, really struggling. I wanted to feel good, and I did. And I felt great the whole way, despite the obstacle course and the starting and stopping that was kind of the whole way. So...
Kristen, when you do run 26 miles, folks might just say, how do you fuel your body?
Yeah,
what do you have to do if you use the restroom? Like, what is it like to physically run that race?
Yeah. Physically, again, it's going to depend on your goals. So if you're racing, it's a little bit different. But no matter what, fueling is so important. It's like a car. Your body becomes the engine, and you have to give it that gas. You have to continuously fuel. So even leading up to race day, even the week before, you're starting to feed yourself more carbs. You start to switch a little bit more of your, like, total calories don't change a lot, but the makeup of that does. So you really start to focus on carbohydrates. When you get close, you know, I've done like 250 carbs 3 days before, 3 days in a row, which can kind of throw you off a little bit. You know, you have to get creative on how you fit all that in. But during the race, typically, you know, most people, what I do is every 30 minutes you take a gel or you take in some type of fuel to get ahead of that bonk, is what people call it, that
so you
usually
crash.
Experience.
Right,
exactly. Yeah. Keep those levels up ahead of time. And you know, these bigger races, they have porta potties every mile. They have water stations every mile. I'm not one that likes to carry a ton of stuff with me, which is nice. You have, you know, people handing you cups of water, and usually I'll stop at every single one, grab one on the way, keep running, you know, take it in and keep moving.
Kristen, what would you say to folks that have maybe toyed with the idea of just doing a neighborhood 5K?
Yeah.
Maybe those that do 5Ks and 10Ks want to push the limits and do a half marathon and a marathon, or those who have no desire to run whatsoever.
Yeah.
What enjoyment, one, do you get out of running? And two, what else can you tell them to help them kind of get over maybe that fear or what they're missing out on?
So back in 2010, when I really first started running, I started with 5K. It was a local, just wanted to kind of have a challenge. It's a slippery slope. So you start with the 5K and you're like, that was fun. I remember I finished my first 10-mile run and I actually ran with like a pocket pedometer because didn't have a watch. Like, it wasn't a thing then. And I thought, this was really cool. Great accomplishment. Felt awesome. That was boring. Like, how do you, you know, so I immediately started looking for a running club. And I would say for anyone who's wanting a 5K, 10K, half marathon, marathon, whatever it is, find a friend, find a group, find a running club. Fast Feet Running Club is the one that I joined back in 2010. The running coach that was running it then is now one of my best friends. Her name's Paige Kell, and she still leads it. We've traveled all over the country running marathons together, and she's put plans together for the group. It's free. They are actually meeting the next 3 Saturdays at Riverwalk, and they're partnering with the Charlotte Running Company. So I would say, number one, get with a group. There's so much motivation and accountability with having people that are like-minded. But you just got to take the first step. Like, a marathon is overwhelming when you haven't done even that first mile. So start small. Just get a group, get some motivation. And it's a social. It becomes this whole, like,
yeah.
Like I said, it's a slippery slope. You know, like, it kind of can get out of whack. But.
So you went from 3 miles to, or 3.1 to 26 miles. What does training look like that? Like, what did you have to run every day? How many miles a day did you run? Mm. Like, what does that
great
look
question.
Like?
So typically, and like throughout the year, if it's on season, off season, I try to keep about a 25 to 30 mile base. And that lets me scale up, scale back, whatever I need to do. It's a lot. It's usually 4 days a week. And when I get into training, I, you know, always have a plan. There's tons of good plans out there. I prefer to use my friend Paige, or this last marathon I used an app called Runna, which is an AI-driven app. I knew exactly what I wanted. I just wanted it to be a little bit different than what I had been doing. And it scales from 20 miles maybe at your base all the way up to like 55, 60. Hmm. And for me personally, I don't like to run more than 4 to 5 days a week. I like to do strength training and other things. And so some runners like to run 5 days, and they know that's their body. For me, I like to balance out the injury risk ratio. And so 4 is a good sweet spot, 4 to 5. It usually pick up 5 towards the end, but it's usually a couple of like midweek runs that could get up to 10 miles. Saturdays are long, you know, up to 3 hours and 15 minutes on a Saturday morning, which could be like 23 miles, 22, 23. And then speed work. Like, that's the game changer if you're trying to pick up speed in your marathon, is adding those hard workouts in.
Ooh.
So it's doable. And as Kristen mentioned, I think getting friends that, or surround yourself with people that like to run or have the same pace as you, I think that's great. Again, that's how we became friends, just through running circles and, you know, fitness groups and everything along those lines. So you really do have a very welcoming community when you start that. Well, I know you've got your two kids here. They are dying to at least say their name. So I'm going to let you slide over a little bit, Kristen, and let's let you two amazing kids come on in. And the husband is here too, but Corey's his name. He said he's more of the handler. All right. So just introduce your name and tell us what sport you play.
My name is Hudson, and I play taekwondo and baseball.
All right. Perfect. And I was told if we give him any more, he'll take over the whole interview. All right. And the next is your sister. So come on up, my friend.
I'm Reese Hinton, and I play softball.
And Reese, something just happened the other day with your softball team.
I won the 12U Silver Bracket Championship in Shelby.
All right. That's awesome.
So she won that over the weekend. Then on Monday.
Was with y'all.
Yeah. We all did the Murph, which is a typical workout that you do on Memorial Day. And she did the entire workout. That's 1 mile. Then it's pull-ups, push-ups, and squats. And then another mile on the back end.
And I heard you were rocking it out.
She did.
Better than some of the adults.
And I saw her afterwards at the grocery store, and she was still smiling. So, well, what an unbelievable family you have. Yeah. Congratulations on your success. And then, Kristen, again, congratulations on just what you've been able to accomplish. And, of course, all of this cannot be completed without the support of Corey, your wonderful husband, who just wants to be in the background. Awesome. Kristen, thank you so much. Thank you.